Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, July 25th. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos appeared in Denver last week at the meeting of the American Legislative Exchange Council. Hundreds gathered at the Colorado State Capitol to protest her appearance. Eric Galatis has more.
The American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, wrapped up its annual meeting in Denver on Friday, and activists say they'll keep watching as the group's agenda unfolds in coming months. The national organization, funded by more than 300 corporations and conservative foundations, brings lawmakers and campaign contributors together to review so-called model legislation to be introduced in multiple states. Caroline Fry with Colorado Common Cause says ALEC creates an uneven playing field that prioritizes the needs of big business.
Politicians should be paying attention to the needs of their constituents, the people that elected them into office and the people that they are representing, not special interests. But unfortunately, when you have organizations like ALEC, they are the agenda setters.
Colorado Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman called the notion that independent-minded politicians could be swayed by ALEC laughable. Topics at this year's meeting included using public money to pay for private and religious schools and ways to block renewable energy development and shield the identities of large campaign donors. Fry says her group hopes to lead a statewide effort to inspect any new bills introduced in the General Assembly for ALEC's fingerprints. Common Cause has filed numerous complaints with the IRS over ALEC's tax-exempt status as a charitable nonprofit. It most recently documented ExxonMobil's use of ALEC to lobby state lawmakers to advance policies challenging the scientific consensus on climate change. Fry believes if corporate actors and their facilitators are not held accountable, the basic tenets of democracy are undermined.
They're paying for access to state legislators from around the country, but then they're also able to use that as a write-off on their taxes. If anything can come from ALEC coming into Colorado, I think that we need to really look at the influence of corporate lobbying.
ALEC's media representatives did not respond to a request for comment. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
The D3 Indivisible Summit was in Ridgeway last week. The day-long event on Friday brought together a large group of local organizers, activists, local elected officials, candidates for office, and concerned citizens for workshops and panel discussions. According to its website, D3 represents a progressive platform that joins farming and ranching communities with rural landscapes, small towns, and resort destinations. Constituents are united by a love of the West and the lifestyles that are integral to its heritage. D3 members advocate for common sense policy that upholds the pillars of the Constitution by working collaboratively with like-minded organizations across Colorado and the nation. While a part of Indivisible, a national grassroots organizing effort, D3 members work outside that network to form nonpartisan alliances that focus on issues that are relevant to the constituents of Colorado's Congressional District 3. At the 4-H Event Center in Ridgeway last Friday, a couple hundred people from all around Colorado converged for the summit. The lunch speaker for the event was Kunur Oja, organizing manager for the National Indivisible Movement. Oja was National Student Organizing Director for Senator Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign and was also National Campus and Student Organizing Director for Hillary Clinton's campaign. Oja brought some of that campaign energy to Ridgeway. Here she is talking to summit participants.
One of the things that I'm so excited about with this movement is that we're seeing folks who felt that spark and that energy 6 months ago, and everyone was saying that it was just a moment. But 6 months later, it hasn't slowed down. I want you all to continue to be strategic. I want you all to continue to support each other and lift each other up. So before I get out of here, I would love if maybe we could all stand up and do a chant together.
Make it up.
We are unstoppable, another world is possible.
We are unstoppable, another world is possible.
Louder!
We are unstoppable, another world is possible. We are unstoppable, another world is possible. We are unstoppable, another world is possible.
Thanks, y'all. Please give yourselves a round of applause. I'm so excited for everything that you're making happen.
And for more on the D3 Indivisible Summit from Ridgeway, Tune in to Local Motion, KVNF's local affairs show, tonight at 6 p.m. We'll have more of our coverage from the summit, as well as a look at a progressive documentary film that played last night in Paonia at the Paradise Theater. That's Local Motion, tonight at 6 p.m. on KVNF. Colorado lawmakers want to improve how public schools integrate digital learning in and outside of the classroom. A report released on Monday highlights priorities and says combining technology with traditional teaching improves test scores and engages students. Bensa Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The term is called blended learning. It's a combination of in-person instruction and online learning. Judy Perez is the founder of the iLearn Collaborative. She says she created the effort 4 years ago after her sons needed to be more challenged in school.
We're talking about leveraging technology for instructional practice. That's almost foreign to most teachers that we work with. It's more than just using an app or accessing a website when I'm home doing my homework.
The top priority for the state to fully implement the program is training teachers on how to get the most out of technology to help students. Another hurdle is making sure students have laptops and iPads they can bring home. The report also says close to 400,000 students don't have enough internet access to participate. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
And finally today, the regular meeting of the Paonia Town Council is tonight at Paonia Town Hall at 7 p.m. Among the items of business is the appointment of a new trustee to fill the seat vacated by former trustee Bill Bruner, who resigned last month. The appointment will bring the council back up to 6 trustees until April of next year, when 4 of the trustee seats will be open for election. Also on the agenda is a 6 o'clock work session with the county assessor to discuss property evaluations. And an item of unfinished business will discuss the findings of town attorney Bo Nerland's memo released at the last meeting that discusses Bruner's actions before he resigned, as well as possible sanctions the council might want to consider. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.